Welcome to Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So, lend me your ear. How is everyone? It's 11:33 on this topsy-turvy, terrific Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, and I'm coming to you with just a little bit of shenanigans for the day, a little late night festival of festivities for your ears, and I'm sure by now everyone has heard about the whole bleach and disinfectant intravenous fluids that the president wants to put on the market to try. You can't make this up. I'm crying tears. Ooh, child. I feel like for this one, we should just scroll with Twitter. Like, I mean, it's serious, but hey, it's such fuckery. Oops, bad word. It's such shenanigans that you can't help yourself. Clorox. And of course, he's trending. He is trending, baby. Politics trending, Clorox. Let's see. Basically, he's recommending injecting disinfectant. The president of the United States has some very lofty ideas. And I'm all for ingenuity. I'm all for free enterprise. I am all for all of that shit. But I think that the scientists and the doctors should stick to this, sir. Because... Baby, the meth head's about to have a field day. Don't worry about the bleach, baby. Just give me straight ammonia. Okay, not the pink, but the blue. I don't know if I am seriously living in a time such as this, or if this is all but a dream. It has to be. This cannot be life right now, yo. Let's see if they'll let me play these 30 seconds or more.
In a minute, 1 minute, and is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see, it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number of lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're gonna have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
Can you believe that? Cause I'm sitting here like, I know this is not happening. Have we really regressed to such thought processes of the like, where the leader of the free world is literally suggesting that we figure out how to intravenously input Clorox disinfectant agents, etc., so on and so forth, into the body to fight the coronavirus that wreaks havoc upon the lungs? If you thought you couldn't find bleach before, people who never used bleach before are using it now. You know, he might be a prophet because he definitely said people have died that have never died before. And that's probably a sordid laughter. You see how quickly I stopped, because I really am not recognizing this stupidity. My mind isn't wrapping itself around the gall, the guile, the blimey malarkey of it all. We're 5 minutes in and I'm already over it. Okay, guys, I am over this guy and anyone like him spewing such foolery. Do y'all want to laugh at some of the some of the tweets? I do. Let's go. This is from BJ Hastings. Hopefully years from now, the phrase "you've been drinking the Clorox cleaner" won't be a thing. And then there's a whole ad for Clorox bleach. Maybe I should follow them. I wonder how many follows they've won up in the last few hours. Wow, let them eat Clorox. It's all in on drinking Clorox. I have to throw Donald Trump. I don't want to hear another one of you boomers say a damn thing to me again about millennials and Tide Pods. Trump press briefing. Let me tell you something. I didn't ride that wave then, and I'm not riding it now. You know, I'd rather just stand in a field around the running buffalo. I'd rather stand in a field among running buffalo than to allow such a thing to really happen. Like, this is crazy. Medical professionals are having to warn people not to shoot up Clorox because the President of the United States suggesting shooting up Clorox is not a sentence I ever thought I'd type. Well, good luck to you. There are a lot of things we didn't think we were gonna be doing. Hello, people have died that have never died before. God, come on, people. Here we go. Here's some science for you all. This is from Deborah at Dio Deb. Watch a scientist react to Trump's remarks about using UV light to fight against COVID-19. Quote, it will blow apart your DNA. It will overwhelm the mutation-fixing enzymes. It will cause cancer. ... Oh, God, no. End quote. Quote, Clorox, Lysol, Tide Pods. End quote. All right. Dear goodness, is this happening, y'all? I think we're what? How many minutes are we in? 7 minutes in, and I feel like I've been talking about this forever. I'm drinking wine tonight, too. Oh my God, let me tell y'all about something. Let's pause for a minute. I found something where you can get a deal for like $30 wines, a box of six. It's from nakedwines.com. And it was only like $30. And I mean, I waited forever, maybe like a week. But I like wine. And right now I'm having some Sauvignon Blanc. I don't remember who it's by when I get up to refill my cup because I'm going to need it. I'll let you guys know, but just a little tidbit to refresh my phrases because I don't know where I'm going with this Clorox thing. I'm really in shock. Ooh, this is juicy. David Wiseman said, I am still in shock. I voted for a man who advised people with COVID-19 to inject Clorox bleach. Well, you did, David. Shame on you. Egg on your face. Because anyone with good sense would know someone who's orange and will not let go of the hair that's gone and just start over or go bald or at least wear a decent wig is probably not gonna give you the best advice. And that's a nice way of saying it. This is by no means PG-13. I've already dropped an F-bomb already, and I'm really trying, guys, to work on my potty mouth. You think when you have a podcast, you can just say whatever you want. But I really do want to hold myself responsible. But sometimes I just gotta say a dirty word. Oh, it's like Tourette's. Ooh, Let's see. Another tweet. Ooh, this is someone from a medical doctorate degree. Eugene Gu, MD. Clorox, Tide Pods, and Lysol will kill the coronavirus. No question about it. But if you are infected, then the coronavirus is inside your cells. If you use any of those disinfectants to kill the coronavirus within your own cells, then you'll die right along with the coronavirus. And let me retweet that with a thank you, doctor. Hold on. Let me cap doctor. Big letters. Thank you, doctor. Thank you. Oh, with a prayer hand. My God, in a casket. Don't do this. If you're listening to my voice and you thought that made sense, I'm glad you're on my particular podcast because I'm going to help you get smart. I promise. Buddy O'Pow. Donald Trump, what are you thinking, Prez? Wow. Somebody said, since you don't want to provide relief funding, could you recommend which disinfectant we should ingest? Clorox or Lysol? My God, let's get off of this. I can't read anymore. It's enough. I want to go to yesterday's news. Carolyn Baskin, the mayor of Las Vegas. And yes, I know her last name isn't Baskin. I renamed her yesterday because she reminds me of the Tiger King wife, okay? She's the one basically throwing sardine oil on all the people in Las Vegas and telling them to go head on into the tiger cage, which in this case would be the casinos. Carolyn Baskin, which I have to say, Goodman, she popped right up. Good job. Are you listening to me, phone? Who, do you all know that she literally, I'm going to let you all listen to this if you didn't. Welcome to the Twilight Zone of this. But I personally, commentary before it starts, so I don't feel obligated to repeat myself and from my thoughts in my mind. I felt like she was either on something or somebody was being held up with a gun or a knife to their throat in front of her. Because she made no sense. She was weird. She was awkward. Her eyes were shifty. Her mouth was a twitching at certain points. She thought things were funny when it was nothing funny. But she said no joke. She would laugh oddly. But this is going to be about 2 minutes and we're going to... The real commentary I'll save as common sense. But let's see. Here we go.
Yes, and Anderson, you can find people to speak on either side. What's happened in this country is so much anger.
Well, the governor says. The governor says.
I admire our governor.
Right. The governor says, unfortunately, I've known the mayor. I don't need politicians weighing in on what's the best state would be.
I am a politician.
I need doctors and medical sound advice.
No. And who are his people? And are they, in fact, the best that we can have? I'm assuming yes. And all I'm doing is asking for a plan so I can tell our people who are calling by the thousands, when are they going to get a paycheck? How can they get a roof over their heads? I am down in the groundwork with the people who've made this city what it is, who've come here to live, come here to build it, and we were not broken, and we need to get back to work. That's it.
There's Chinese researchers have shown how this virus spreads. I just want to put up for our viewers. This is a restaurant.
Anderson, you are tough.
No, I'm not
We're
tired.
Back to China. This isn't China. This is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. Okay, that's really ignorant. This is a restaurant. And the
that's
yellow circle.
That's an ignorant statement.
That's a restaurant. And yes, it's in China, but there are human beings too. That yellow is a person who is asymptomatic and infected. And all those other red circles or other diners who that one diner passed the virus to. All those other people became infected in a restaurant that had air conditioning, and they believe it was the air conditioning which helped the virus
and
spread to all those other
people. Remember the Legionnaires' disease in 1976 in Philadelphia came all through the air conditioning. You don't remember because you're younger.
I do remember.
Typhoid Mary, who I think...
Enough. Enough. First of all, it was so hard for me to hold my tongue, y'all. But first of all, Typhoid Mary spread typhoid because the chat shit under her nails and was cooking, shaking hands, serving people pie, and not washing her hands in between when she would wipe her ass from shitting or scratching herself because she wasn't wiping herself, or whoever knows how feces gets from one's fingertips to the fucking pot, okay? And Legionnaire's disease, for all intents and purposes, because I know some people probably don't feel like having to do this, I'm going to look up Legionnaire's disease. And from what I'm going to remember, it is not passed the same way, and it is definitely a different ball game. Legionnaire's disease is a type of pneumonia caused by Legionella bacteria. Legionnaire's disease doesn't spread from person to person. Legionnaire's disease doesn't spread from person to person. Instead, the bacteria spreads through mist, such as from air conditioning units for large buildings. Adults over the age of 50 and people with weak immune systems, chronic lung disease, or heavy tobacco use are most at risk. It's also very rare, fewer than 20,000 U.S. cases per year. Short-term resolves within days to weeks. Critical needs emergency care. That's the basis of Legionnaire's disease. And as I said, Typhoid Mary had nothing to do with what she spread shit around. And I really just cannot believe this was a talking point for a mayoral leader of a state representing, as she said in the interview, I think 2.3 million people. And then she made light of the fact that it was 150 deaths in her particular town, in Las Vegas, out of 2.3 million. So she felt, basically, that it's okay if she offers them as guinea pigs, as the prototype, as the testing wheel for finding out how fast death will come if they go ahead and open the casinos. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind thought a little bit deeper that perhaps, and I wasn't the only one on this little same tip or tidbit, she is having some trouble with the mob or the people running the casinos. Let me say it that way. I'm gonna fuck all that. The mob probably is losing out on lots of money. Las Vegas is a huge travel industry, probably $1 trillion industry. Hospitality, restauranteering, shows, Broadways, all kinds of things occur right there. It's a hub. And they're losing out on money. To say it's been 6 weeks or more, probably, that's a lot of money considering what they're used to seeing by the day, by the hour. And I'm pretty sure that the people whose pockets are used to getting fatter and thicker are losing out on more than a lot of people that are the actual workers of the industry, like the dealers, the bartenders, the dancers. And they're probably on her ass about it, because no one in their right mind that actually cared about life would really be trying to rush to reopen casinos. And then she was like, it's not her job to do the testing, it's not her job to figure out the social distancing part. That is up to the people who have the businesses, who own the casinos, etc., so on and so forth. That's not her job. Her job is just to be the voice of the people and say they want to go back to work. And I beg to differ there, because as leadership, you have to be able to see the forest, the trees, the volcanoes, the mountaintops, the valleys, and make calls that won't cost the lives of your constituents, the people who put you there. And Miss Goodman isn't capable, honey. She showed me that. I don't know what she was on, what wine she been drinking or what, but she made a fool out of not just herself, but a lot of people who probably put themselves on the line. She looks like a crazy person. I'm telling you, the way she slurred them words and started laughing, I knew what was up. She got something going on, baby. And it ain't just water and coffee, okay? She probably wasn't wearing pants, just sitting in a chair in the office. Who knows who was in her going on in her house, okay? But I know they probably told her, bitch, you gonna... Because the way her eyes kept diverting. Like, shit. Probably just like a movie. Had her little dog or something in a bag and was like, I'm gonna blow this bitch's brains out if you don't get them to open the casino. But real talk, there's no way. You have the person in, let me just be respectful, Governor Kemp in Georgia opening up the worst case scenario type businesses. Hair salons, barber shops, gyms, tattoo parlors. The beaches in Florida are open. Who knows what's next? I think that at this point we can see that it's all about money. Maybe not to we the people. Well, not all of us, rather. Because there are some people who do want to go back to work and don't care. Who feel as though their patriotism is being called upon to be stretched. And I don't know. I'm actually speechless at the amount of ignorance and arrogance catapulting itself through life right now. I don't know what that was. Hold on. I guess it was the air. Oh well. I don't need no extra shit right now, okay? I am already on edge, being that you just never know what's next these days. And I think that today and yesterday pretty much summed up the idea that we're not dealing with leadership that is capable and that you are on your own if you want to survive. If it is survival of the fittest, you literally have to make those fork in the road decisions that will either cost you your life or maybe hurt you economically, but will extend your family legacy. Because if you're gone and then you've infected everyone in your house and they aren't able to maybe fight it off, or maybe out of five only one survives. That's happening right now, you know. There's a gentleman that it was a comment, and I don't think that I remember what page I was on where I saw it, but basically, he lost his baby sister, a brother, I think his grandmother, two uncles. It was like five family members, all back to back from the virus. And I don't mean to sound this way, but he was a black guy, so-called black guy, and I think that just trying to say this the right way without sounding rude or anything, but we're seeing that it is affecting the minority or colored community more than it is somebody that may have health insurance or isn't black or isn't in a poor community. And it just amazed me, the comments that were left for this gentleman, basically telling him, oh well. That's basically what they said, oh well. And it was really disheartening to see that. I couldn't imagine seeing that I wrote something about death in my family from something that's really affecting the world, and the only thing that people could put was, oh well, I want to get back to work, oh well, I want to go get my hair cut, or it's a hoax, or this is about patriotism. Patriotism causes sacrifice, and I don't think people really understand that. Being a patriot isn't only being like glorious, waving a banner saying that you're this title. Sometimes it causes for you to make really hard sacrifices for the greater good of the country. And I don't think that any of the people who are out protesting without thinking about the social distancing situation, the fact that they're carriers that don't know they're carriers, and that one person can infect up to 10 people or more, they're not thinking about those things and the greater sacrifice of, okay, yeah, we may have to rebuild the economy, but why would that be a bad thing? Who's really doing good right now? Who? Outside of the people who already have money or are self-established for generations, where they don't have to worry about if their small business isn't able to operate, they can't feed not only their family but the families that they employ. What's good about this situation? Where's the backup plan? What was really set up for such a time as this? Nobody, everybody's pointing fingers, everybody's worried about the wrong thing. And so that's that crossroads that I was telling you about, that fork in the road. You're either going to choose the path of life or choose the path of death. And it's really arrogant for people to say, if I get it, I get it. I don't think that, and I'm going to include myself because I have my moments too of selfish arrogance in different ways, but no less Americanized, westernized, this belief that it can't happen to you, or this reckless, it's a form of recklessness where you just go to this grab life by the balls mentality, where you take no prisoners, you don't ask questions, you just do it. And that maybe for opportunity's sake is great, but for this, it's turning into an Achilles heel, and it is extreme to see on your screen actual nurses and doctors who are being screamed at and having their noses busted, etc., being attacked, call names, call communists, for warning people to please go home, please don't do this. But hey, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it is all a joke, right? People haven't really died. is really, really and truly my greatest wish that I didn't have to report on this next stage of events. The alternative governor. Where are you? What is his name? Fudge Sickle. I just was talking about him. One second, guys. Texas. He was just trending yesterday. And his stupid statement from yesterday. I know I'm gonna find it. Give me a sec. We don't have anywhere to go. What's the rush, guys? Actually sent it to myself yesterday because it was so crazy. Ooh, it's so much fanatical, flagrant malarkey. Okay. I found it. Did I? No, that's not it. I think this happened yesterday. Basically, okay, well, maybe I'll come upon it later, but basically he said, there's nothing worth. Here it is. I passed it right up, looking for it so bad. I'm gonna play it for you. I can't make this up anymore.
We're crushing this country. Life is valuable, but 500 people out of 29 million, and we're locked down, and we're crushing the average worker. We're crushing small business. We're crushing the markets. We're crushing this country. And what I said when I was with you that night, there are more important things than living, and that's saving this country for my children and my grandchildren, and saving this country for all of us. And I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. But man, we gotta take some risk and get back in the game and get this country back up and running. And saving this country for my children and my grandchildren, and saving this country for all of us. And I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. But when I was with you that night, there are more important things than living. And that's saving this country for my children and my
important things than living. And at that, I have heard it all. Oh, that was the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. I couldn't think of his name. And he is relevant because that is exactly what he said. I did not make it up. That was not hearsay. That was not my opinion. This man opened his mouth on Tucker Carlson and said, there are more important things than living. And on that note, you guys, these are the people that are making the decisions for the country. Let me sip my wine. And that was the end of my wine, so I'm gonna go refreshing my drink. But before I go, because (sighs) I'm boggled. I'm really boggled. Let me pause and go get my drink so I can rethink. I can't believe that. Okay, I'm back. So I promised you when I went and refilled my drink, I would tell you what kind of Sauvignon Blanc this was. It's called Rod Estrop. No. Rod Estrop. It's hard to say this because of how they have it written. Rod Estrop. It's really delish. It's a 2019 Reserve Sauvignon Blanc from Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. It's a nice finish. It actually hits you as soon as you take a little sippity sip. Let me read the back for you. The reserve designation is only used on those wines where the winemaker's art of blending pot cells together has already... I can't read. Oh my god. This is probably my third drink. Okay, hold on. Don't judge me on that first reading. Let's do this again. The reserve designation is only used on those wines where the winemaker's art of blending parcels together has been utilized to craft a wine of compelling character and complexity. A warm and windy summer followed by a dramatically cool autumn wrestled in intense fruit characters, balanced by zesty acidity. Notes of gooseberry, elderflower, ooh, it's healthy, and fennel combine for an intriguing nose. The palate has the acidity one expects from a cool climate like ours, yet has the weight and length as well. Enjoy as an aperitif or with seafood or hard cheese. Ooh, I've got some Havarti in the kitchen. But I'm not gonna have any because it's midnight and I don't want any cheese on my thighs. Well, you can get the inside story from www.nakedwines.com. Okay, commentary over. It's the delicious wine. I didn't have seafood today. I actually made some wings. From scratch. I didn't cut the chicken, but I didn't buy the chicken fried already, and I did it naked. I didn't do flour, you know, a little this and that to season it. And then we tossed it in a Carolina sweet heat. And I made a garlic mashed potato with a little turkey bacon inside because we don't eat swine, but you know, I needed a little bacon flavor. And we did some sweet corn and broccoli. Broccoli, not frozen, fresh. Yes. Okay. And it's going good with this, so. I had to take a break from Dan Patrick or whatever the hell his name is with that foolishness. That shit. What else is going on? I feel like I'm forgetting something. So much has happened. We know that Tyson closed a plant yesterday. Another pork plant closed. If you were able to hear the last podcast we did, I talked about the Smithville closings. Let's see if I can get it to pipe up again. But while I'm looking for that, what do you think about the big major corporations taking most of the economic, the PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Program? Like Ruth Chris, I think, got $20 million. Steak and Shake got, Steak and Shake got $10 million, but I think they're returning theirs. No word from Ruth Chris if they're going to do the same. And I probably wouldn't blame them. I mean, if you're a thief, go do it. You'll be a thief, right? Let's see. Meat packaging. Plant closures. That's what I want to know. Just so we can see how many it is. I see something from USA Today. Ooh, 2 hours ago, Channel 5, it looks like, in Indiana. I'm going to do this one first because there's quite a few of them. This was in Chicago. Saw Channel 5 Chicago News, Indiana. Indiana meat plant closes after 146 employees test positive for coronavirus. The Tyson Fresh Meats plant in Logansport, Indiana, produced 3 million pounds of pork daily. So let's do the math. 3 million pounds of pork gone. What about the other plants that are closed? Where are they going to be getting this from? Okay. Tyson Foods Incorporated announced Wednesday that it will temporarily close its meatpacking plant in North Central Indiana after 146 employees tested positive for coronavirus. The Tyson Fresh Meats plant in Logansport produced 3 million pounds of pork daily. Tyson suspended production Monday to allow for cleaning and sanitizing. The plant reopened Tuesday and is running at limited capacity because of decreased worker attendance. The company will stop all production by Saturday. The combination of worker absenteeism, COVID-19 cases, and community concerns has resulted in a collective decision to close, said Steve Stauffer of Tyson's Beef and Pork subsidiary. Cass County officials said 47 people in the county have tested positive for the virus, with some of those traced back to Tyson employees. Testing of all remaining plant workers will start Thursday, said Cass County Health Department Administrator Serenity Alter. She said officials are hopeful that the test results back within several days so the plant can resume production. They missed a word there. Sorry, I had to say that. Employers have struggled to contain the virus in meatpacking plants, where workers toil side by side on production lines and often share crowded locker rooms, cafeterias, and rides to work. Several facilities have temporarily closed due to virus outbreaks, including a Smithfield Foods plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a JBS USA plant in Worthington, Minnesota, and a Redwood Farms meat processors in Estherville, Iowa. Others have stayed open or resumed production after pauses for testing and cleaning. An estimated 25% of U.S. pork processing capacity has been closed or idle due to reduced operating speed over the past 2 days, says Steve Meyer, an economist with Kearns and Associates in Ames, Iowa. The coronavirus has made everything more complicated, especially trips to the grocery store. We know that. So I don't think that was a part of this. They need to make an indention. Sorry, guys. Closing facilities have serious implications to the national food supply for American families, local communities, growers, and farmers, Stauffer said. When a facility closes, the availability of protein for consumers across the nation will only decrease. Prices are starting to rise as a result, with analysts warning of an upcoming shortage of certain products at grocery stores. At the same time, hog prices are plummeting due to excess supply, which is hurting farmers. What an oxymoronic situation. I want to know, that was about 4 meat supplies that are messed up. So 25%. And that's just pork, U.S. pork. And I'm pretty sure it's only a matter of time before that number grows, because if the conditions are the same in all of these plants and they can't really stop the side-by-side, what are they about to do? What a conundrum the meat packaging industry is in right now. I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to, one, continue to tell people there's only 25% of the production that's missing, or two, go ahead and close the other ones, at least to get the disease in control. I don't know. that was merely speculation, because it makes no plausible sense that it's only the pork industry to me. I want to know what the total number of meat packaging closures. Let's see if they'll tell me. It's just saying 25% right now. And it just makes me wonder, if it's at the pork facilities, then wouldn't it be at the beef and the poultry as well? We'll see. They're not saying anything, but I think that everyone needs, it will behoove us all. It will behoove us all to just go ahead and let's light some sage while I say this. If you have some sage, you should light it. Something of positivity. Sage, really, the smell of, I like the smell. And I notice that, me personally, I'm really calm when I say it, because I find myself growing a little irritated at the fact that instead of telling people the truth, we're being told so many fables. Remember Aesop's Fables, y'all? That's what I feel like I'm in. I feel like I'm in Aesop's Fables. Or, what was the name of that HBO show when we were kids? Oh, God, it slips my mind. I make my toddler watch it. Fuck, I can't remember. Okay, it'll come to me, but it's basically, it was like, Marcus Houston was one of the characters in one, the Jack and the Beanstalk one. The guy from Bebe's Kids before he died. Like, I can't find the real number and it's making me upset. Okay. I'm gonna have to do digging a different way. Let's see. Tyson Foods. Let's see if they have a map of operating facilities. No thanks. I don't need a location turned on. Thank you. Ooh, y'all better eat all the meat you can, huh? There are quite a few of the Tyson Foods here in Texas. In the great state of Texas, I want to see your map of facilities. Well, of course they don't have that. I guess what a better time to go vegan, right? Well, I'll be doggone. I went to their main page. Let's see. Who are we? Innovation, our brand, sustainability. Feed blog. It doesn't say, you all. It doesn't say. Well, I guess we'll find out. When you go to the store and, let's say, some pork chops, a pack of three, went from being, I don't know, $9 to now it's $15. You're gonna start to feel that. You feel it already. I know I do when I go in there, and you know, I don't really know what Good Assistance is doing anyone at this time, but as someone that does not qualify for it according to the way that they go about looking, I really wonder if they're going to have to do something different with regards to rations for food. If they're going to be shortages there, potatoes, there's a shortage. There was one, I know for a fact, last year with potatoes and the farmers having issues because of the climate changes. And that wasn't really put out in the news. And if you've been paying attention, they have farmers that have been actually throwing away food, throwing away crops, because of the lack of, I guess, economic need with regards to people buying it from them. But you would think that they would think further to say, hey, there's so many hungry we're all working together to try to make a dollar off of someone going through the same thing as you is the reason we're probably facing these problems right now. But I'm no guru on economics, but I can tell you that morally, if you think karma works in a certain way, or you reap what you sow, or you can't pick up one stick without picking up the other end, one end of one stick without picking up the other end, you would think that perhaps instead of throwing all that food away as though it were trash, you would give it to the people who are needy and work out something else. If the farmers can't get people to buy from them or to pick the food because they're putting a pause on immigration for 60 days, what about, why be so wasteful? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things I'm questioning. The sense of it all, the effort of thought. Ironically speaking, for some reason, Shakespearean notes and sonnets come to my mind, because when you read those types of allegorical words, messages, poetry, novels, whatever you want to say, it causes you to be able to step in someone else's shoes. That's why it's important to read, because it just helps you to be able to envision and use your imagination long term. I think that may be why I'm so dramatical, because I really do, I've gotten back into reading, and I think that it would behoove a lot of people to do something else other than what you're doing, because going for money and going for the jugular and then being so spiteful to throw it away because you can't make the money off of it is going to backfire on everyone. Because never mind, that's a tangent for another day. Maybe I think a little bit different, I don't really know. Y'all still hanging out with me? I hope so. I've been on the fence about entertainment. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'm going to close this one out because obviously you can't go past an hour on this particular thing. And we've gone really quite long with the shenanigans. But I probably do another one because I'm really feeling like getting some things off my chest. I've been quiet for a minute. But before I go and leave you all just for a little bit, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me, becoming a subscriber, telling your friends to come and listen, for sending me messages about what you want me to cover. Just several things that really are helping to shape what Amethyst Dynasty is and shall be. And I'm thankful for you all. And I want to encourage you, even in spite of all that's happening, all that you seem that you lost, you've really gained something that is more precious than you could ever get paid for. And that's time with your loved ones. That's time even with self, for my single ladies, single gents out there in the world. If you're a widow or widower, my condolences to you. Those that have lost others, I encourage you that in this time of solace, that you don't race out to go outside just because they're saying open the doors. Look beyond that, because I think that this is about money, and it's not taking into account how it may backfire and spread the disease or mutational strands even more. But also, if you are feeling alone, know that you're not. Meditate, pray, have faith. Find out who you are. Do something you've always wanted to do with regards to writing or poetry or making funny videos, even if they're just for yourself, or writing that novel or a piece or something that you could stand on your own soapbox and be proud of, even if you wrote that down, stood on your little box, and virally had a conference with some people you invited who listen to you and really feel you. You can do that for me. If you want, I'll join in and I'll listen, but don't feel alone. Don't hurt yourself. Don't turn to something that could hurt you, but instead look up, zoom in. Everything has a purpose and we all have a destiny. And with that, thank you for listening. This is Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So, lend me your ear.